Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Now today's sermon has a part especially designed for children. So if there are any in the sanctuary, which I think a lot of them are at home sleeping or away visiting grandma, please, I invite them to come forward, including the acolytes. Don't leave me alone up here. Come on up. And you can sit right here on the steps and any way you can see me best. Thank you so much. Boy, this is a small crowd considering we had like 80 children on Christmas Eve, huh? So, Merry Christmas to you all. Thank you. And this is the first Sunday after Christmas. And to be honest with you, I find it a little disenchanting. It's like, you know, all those angel wings and donkey ears, cow tails, and all the other pageant props already put away. And the whole world kind of says, okay, I'm done with it. Let's move on. We spent weeks preparing for Christmas, some even months preparing for Christmas. I got my gifts. I gave my gifts. We celebrated here at the church. What's next? Come on now. And it won't be until it'll be even today when I drive home maybe and I find Christmas trees and empty boxes lying on the side of the street. It seems as if the whole world has a Christmas hangover per se. And here we have today's gospel. Did you guys hear the gospel? No? That's okay. I'll help you out. Today's gospel doesn't even remind us of the holy family that was huddled together in that dusty and brown stable. John's gospel on the surface actually seems like it doesn't seem like have anything to do with the birth narrative as we know it. It is a Christmas story, though. It's a different kind of Christmas story. John tells the story of Jesus' birth through poetry. He describes Jesus' birth as a light into a dark world, a light that is so powerful that the only thing it could do is spread. The gospel reminds us that this is a story of so much beauty and power that simply using words to retell the story doesn't give it enough justice. It's best told through poetry. We're reminded that even though the world waited for Jesus' birth, the story isn't over. It's just beginning. Unlike the Christmas hangover, per se, that seems to go on the day after Christmas, the light that Jesus brought us will enlighten everyone around us who receives it, and we will become, and they will become, the children of God. So John's Christmas story is really more about awe and wonder. It reminds us the best way to really know about the incarnation is to not simply know how Jesus was born in a stable, but rather to know how God came to live on earth, teach us about love and true light, even though he wasn't accepted by the world. His light continues today, everybody who knows Christ. So it's best not known through here, but through here, our hearts. And to enter the story, not as saying, this happened first, this happened second, this happened third, but to kind of enter the story into the beauty of it, the light that it actually gives us. And today is a very special day because we begin the next chapter of Jesus' remarkable story right here in this sanctuary. We will baptize Torrance Elizabeth Horton. The light of Christ will be passed on to Torrance. And because this is about poetry and knowing from your heart instead of your head, and it is filled with amazement and wonder, and there's absolutely nothing more amazing and wonderful than baptism, I've decided to share a story with you from a Montessori lesson for young children. Well, you're not really that young, are you? For children, about baptism. And I picked a children's lesson to tell all of you because I think children are more comfortable with hearing the mystery than adults. And I ask for you to become like children as if this was the first time you've heard about baptism, to kind of let go of all the intellectual stuff that we hold on to as adults and try to enter it through your heart and see what you hear. Be filled with God's mysterious love and power. So, I have some props here. And I know that the sanctuary is not the best place to see, but you'll have to use your imagination as well. So today, as I told you, we're going to baptize Tyler Wade. I'm sorry, I said Tyler. I'm sorry, Torrance. And we baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. And we use, what do we use for baptism? Water. That's right.
Warm water.
Warm water, we hope. So if you can't see, you can, I think you can see. This is the water of creation, the dangerous water of the flood, the water you were or will be baptized in, the water Jesus was baptized in, and so much more. There once was somebody who did such wonderful things and did such amazing things that the people just had to ask who he was. And one time when he asked, he said, "I am the light." The Holy Spirit goes as it wills. It rides an invisible wind like a dove and comes to us when we need comfort or power. It is invisible, just like the scent of the oil we will use for baptism. It is invisible, but it's still there. People are baptized when they are babies, or when they're children, or teenagers, or grown-ups, or when they're very old. And today we are fortunate to be a part of Torrance Elizabeth's baptism. We ask the person about to be baptized questions, or if it's a baby, like Torrance, too little to answer, we ask the parents or godparents. We say prayers for them. Then we are ready. Naming is also very important in baptisms. Today, Torrance Elizabeth's parents or godparents or grandparents will say her name. Then we will be ready. This is the day that Torrance receives the light. We light it from the Christ candle. So I will take a candle and I'll light it from the Christ candle back there just a few minutes from now. And look, since I've lit that light, what has happened to that light? Has it grown smaller or has it grown bigger? So if I was to light another one, does it grow smaller or bigger? Yeah, it's bigger now, isn't it? There's more of it. The light grows bigger. And so I want you to imagine right now, if we were each to hold a light, just like this light, how much light would grow in this place? a lot. The light just keeps growing bigger and bigger and bigger. And all this light just seems to spread and grow and continues to be bigger, not smaller. I wonder how much light can come from one light. Now let me show you something. Let's change the light. Watch carefully. We're going to change it. Whoa, do you see that gray stuff? Looks like the light is spreading. It spreads out and it fills this room. And just because you can't see it anymore doesn't mean it's gone. Anywhere you go in this room today, there it will be. Our room will be full of invisible light. Your light. The light you received on the day of your baptism, or the light you will receive. So, just as Torrance Elizabeth is the newest chapter in our remarkable story, we each share a part in the story. Jesus is the light we share. I believe this is the most incredible and amazing thing of this story. We each have our own individual and unique invisible light. We are each special and called by God to be in relationship with God. And that relationship is the light that will never be overcome by darkness. No matter what happens here on earth, God's eternal flame will remain in our hearts. We're called to know that flame and to spread it to others, allowing the light to shine even brighter here on earth. As we come together to share the joy of Torrance's baptism, let us remember our own baptisms. Let us try to search deep within our hearts to find the light within ourselves. Listen to that light. Ask who it is calling us to be, and continue with this chapter of this truly remarkable story that never ends. Amen. Thank you.